Blog Talk Radio.
So we just gonna walk through the club and just shit on everything, huh?
Another Mr. E production.
All right, listeners. This is Angela Butler. This is Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have with us this afternoon Shango Henry. Welcome back to Show Talk with Angela Butler, Shango Henry. How are you this afternoon?
Thank you. I'm wonderful. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me back.
Okay. All right. You're more than welcome. It's good to have you back. This is for my listeners who did not hear the last show. Tell them how you became an actor.
I was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time, and as a personal trainer, one of my clients was a doctor, and he told me I need to come down to his office this particular week coming up because Samuel Jackson's wife, Tanya Richardson, was going to be there. So I'm like, wow, really? Maybe she trained with me. That's how I never thought I would be an actor. It never made me think that in a million years. This was 4 years ago. So I go to his office and meet Tanya. She's there. I'm there in my muscle shirt vest. Hey, trying to get my impression going. And she's like, no, I'm not training. I'm here to meet the doctor, but her friend had brought her to meet him. I wanted to know, how do you become a celebrity trainer? That was what I wanted to do at that point, since she wouldn't train with me. So she suggested I go to San Diego, and they got stunt school and that kind of thing. Maybe I could get in there, and then I would be around entertainers, that kind of thing. So I asked her for a phone number, so she gave me this lady's number, I guess her secretary, and I was to get Michael Blanks, which was Billy Blanks' brother, phone number, call him. He said, send pictures, cool. He said, come on out. I'm like, fine. A friend of mine, he and his wife, they were en route as well. And they had been vegan, living a vegan lifestyle for 25 years. And they cooked for celebrities out of their kitchen at home with four young children. So Reginald Hudlin, the president of BET, was going to do he was one of their clients, and was going to do a reality show based on their lifestyle, cooking out of their kitchen for celebrities such as Ruben Studdard and Mary and 50 Cent's music director, like I said, Bob Marley's son, Ziggy Marley, number of people, Debbie Allen. And on the show, because at the time I was vegetarian, I wasn't vegan, but on the show I was going to be the trainer, and that way I was going to get a lot of clients. I'm like, you know, this is it right here, so...
Okay.
He was coming out. That's how that was going. So he was coming, and then I was on my way anyway. And so I said I took an acting class so I would look right on TV so I can get me more clients. And when I took the class, the teacher, older guy, Ruben Moreno, God bless him, he's passed on, but he said, Shango, I don't know, but if you want to be an actor, you have a future, because once a producer sees you, you're in. And first project I went on, I mean, as soon as I walked in, producers, the guy said, hey, that's the guy we want. And I called Ruben. I'm like, hey, man, this thing worked. I'm like, wow, if it's that easy, then dang, I'm getting ready to be a star. Hey. No,
okay.
But it's been like that. And it's been very accelerated. I believe this is something that's been given to me as a gift. And so my career is accelerated, and I'm thankful. And I meet a lot of great people who have excelled in the business, been in the business for a while, many more years than me, that I've learned a lot from, and who have helped me with my career in one way or another. And it's just a beautiful thing. That's how, without belaboring that point, that's how my career got started.
Okay, that's how your career got started. So you're a personal trainer, and you were trying to be a celebrity trainer, and now you are an actor.
Yeah, wind up being an actor. Yeah, how about that? I mean, I'm still a personal trainer. Personal training something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead and talk.
you know, personal training came about because that's something that I did, and people would see my body like now and be like, wow, how can I get that? So, you know, I started teaching people. And when Billy Blanks came out with Tybo, I'm a martial artist as well. Every martial artist was teaching the same thing, kickboxing, you know, because it's music to your kicking and punching. It's very easy for us to do because we already got kicking and punching. That's what we do. So then you add music to it, do true routines here, eight this way, eight like this, another eight like that, and then another eight like that. Keep it interesting. You got a class. Call it what you will. But that's when I started training people. And then I was told by people in the class, in that class, which was mine's called Jaki. There's a lady in the class who was a trainer, but she loved my class as well. She said, you ever thought about getting certified as a trainer? Because I'm a martial artist, I'm a black belt, so I'm certified to train you in martial arts, which means I also give you a good measure of calisthenics and fitness because you have to be in condition to do martial arts proficiently without injury. And so I was certified in that way, and that's how I worked in the gyms. But a personal trainer is somebody, now you're dealing with the anatomy of the skeletal system and the muscles and where they're structured at, the best type of stress to put on them from different types of weights, and it becomes a whole other type of learning that you have to go through to be that type of personal trainer. And I went for that. I said, well, fine, I'll do that because, I mean, I'm a walking billboard, as I was told many, 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 many times. So that's how that happened. But mostly now I do more acting now has kind of taken over.
Okay. All right. Do you know how many films and commercial and television shows have you been in? Because I believe your career started around 2009. Am I correct? When I was looking at your resume, internet movie database, I think I counted between 50-something or 60-something television shows, commercials, and films. Do you know the exact number?
Wow. That many?
Yeah, that's what I was counting. It was about 50-something. I'm pretty certain when I counted everything up. Because I know that in 2012, you worked on The Resolve, Wedding Day, Celebrity Sex Tape, Spades. And that was in 2012, and just films. In 2012, now you're over it. And then television, you have worked in The Great Escape, Up All Night with Kurt Magnum. So, do you know?
To be honest, I don't. I know I'm close to 50 films at this point. And commercials, the major ones, which is a Dodge minivan commercial that ran national for almost a year, all through NBA and Super Bowl. And then there's a Mini Cooper, there's a Mini Cooper car commercial that we shot in Las Vegas at the arena there, the stadium. That went international. That was in the theaters here, but it went international in terms of the commercial side. Then there's a tape, like masking tape, a certain type of tape that we did. Another commercial I did, that was an international. The videos with Mary J. and T.I. and Snoop, that was a movie/video, him and Jamie Foxx. These are the major ones, but because the ones in between, the ones that wasn't major, I don't really remember, although I value all of them equally the same. But, of course, you know, the bigger names you're going to naturally remember more because you hear their names more and they stand out more. But no, I don't. Project-wise, I know overall project, if you added all the projects I've done, it's probably close to 100, all the projects all together. Yeah.
Close to 100. Yeah, I thought I stopped counting after about 60-something. What is your training or educational background?
Oh, I'm high school dropout. No, I'm not a high school dropout. I'm a junior high school dropout who got a GED. A very, very bad as a youth, in trouble, gangs and everything that I fight against now, that's what I used to be. So how I know about it and why I do it so well, thank God, not for that life I live, I thank God for getting out of it and being able to share that experience, hopefully help curtail anybody else that's walking down that street. But, yeah.
So, God has turned your life around. Your educational background, your training. I know you have training in martial arts and things like that.
Yeah, I
wanted
to explain the rest. Yeah, I want to explain. After I got kicked out of junior high school right quick, ninth grade, right before going to high school, and it, because I've been kicked out so many times, they said, look, go ahead over to this community center where there's children like you and study with them and get another environment, and y'all get, we all, you know, became motivated to each other, became a little thing of our own, and we all graduated, and, you know, and we had a little graduation, had little gowns and stuff, and caps, and it was really nice. I'll never forget that. That's why I got very enlightened, as a matter of fact, when you speak about God turning my life around, that was a place. That was a place where I met a man that shared some information with me and took me down to the Shrine of the Black Madonna with Jeremogia Bebe, the teacher. He's known as Reverend Klieg at the time. He taught a form of Black Christian nationalism. But, you know, to learn more about my blackness, as in my skin color, was tremendous for me, because that was a negative, I thought, in my life coming up, because black wasn't praised. Wasn't no Michael Jordan there. See? Wasn't no Michael Vick. You follow me? Yeah. And exactly. And so, you know, like, you just teased. Black was ugly. Black was laugh. Black was bad luck. Black cat, bad luck. And, I mean, everything, good guys wear white, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you was black, you was at the brunt of all the jokes. And I would cry to my mother. She's like, well, hell, you is black. But I didn't understand it, because I didn't know our history. You know, that in fact we had done great things in life, and we don't have to be bad and violent and killing people and breaking into people's homes and robbing them and shooting, you know. So when I heard about our history and the productive things that we had done, that's what turned me around. And that's what I enjoy sharing in the high schools and junior high schools when I go in and speak with the youth or the prisons and share that with them. I mean, same for white, Mexican, whoever, Armenian, it doesn't matter. You know, to know who you are is the greatest of all knowledge. You can't have a healthy love of yourself until you know yourself, you know?
Okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
and
I
think the 70s, because I'm in my early 40s, were a hard time. And the early 80s were perhaps hard times for everybody that was African-American, for different reasons, but especially the 70s, because we were just coming out of segregation, and it was just hard. It wasn't an easy time for anybody that was black American.
Right.
So you're not the only one who went through the identity thing and not being certain, because a family member of mine was a Black Panther, and I knew my heritage, but there was so much going on, because I was named after Miss Angela Davis. Do you remember her? My name's Angela, so I was named after Angela Davis. I think there were a lot of little black girls back in the day who were named after her. So it was a lot going on back then, but God willing, at the ages we are now, we know who we are, and we can give something back to our communities and back to
society as whole.
Knowledge.
I mean, we
There's
have to.
Hope.
We're duty bound.
Yeah, I'm not where I want to be, but come further than where I was at. All right. What inspires you? What motivates you? What keeps you going?
what keeps me going.
Yeah, what motivates
you?
As in your acting, your career. What motivates you? Who or what inspires you?
It comes from the inside that makes me desire to be the best that I can be. And that's whatever I'm in. When I was boxing, I decided I was going to be heavyweight champion of the world. Trainers that saw me and my ability, it was very believable. Then I got into martial arts and excelled the same exact way. Whatever it, you know, I've gotten in, it's been like that. So it's something that comes from the inside that I'm driven to excel and be the best. Or else don't do it. I can't settle. If I was going to be a dishwasher, I still would strive to be the best at that. If that was something I made in my mind, this is who and what I am, then this is what it's going to be. I'm an actor, but although that doesn't define me to say I'm an actor. You know what I mean? I'm a healer. And I don't mean nothing super spiritual, that I'm God sent and all that, because I believe we all are. I don't mean like that, except that I recognize I'm a healer, and I hope that you do too. Your show is healing, okay. And everybody, as long as we give peace to each other, it's a form of healing. It's only when we give each other hell that it's a form, it's destructive, and begins to tear at the fiber of any relationship that we may have. But I recognize it that I'm a healer. So one word don't describe me. You know, I'm a spiritual being. You know, I'm a philanthropist, stuff like that. I want to give back. That's the whole purpose for me. You know, wanting to really be successful. And I'm driven because I want to feel that feeling of being able to make somebody smile. That's what I want. That's what I love. That's what I want to do, you know. To those who, because I know, like, I'm, like, so close, and I just need a little help, not a lot. And there's so many people who have so much. And there's some of us who just need a little help. And then we could get there and have so much, and we'll give back, unlike a lot of them who have so much and don't give back. Not slighting those that have a lot and who do give back, but there's a lot more who don't. And I don't think that there's enough programs. There need to be a reality show on TV, something to where they will scout out people who, like Angela Butler's radio show. She's down in the South, and she has a little studio, but with a little help, we can get her this kind of studio and this kind of an equipment that will reach these kind of listeners, because she works so hard. You know, you come on a show, you don't know why you're on a show. And then before you know, then they say, so we know that you're down there, and this is what we decided to do for you. You be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And there's some people who want to go to... Absolutely. There's some people who want to go to college. That's what I mean. And I would like to do a show like that, to give. Like, people want to go to college, and all they need is a couple $1,000. Dang. They only need one more year to do 3 credits, and that may take $5,000 or $6,000, whatever. You know, boom, here, take it. Stuff like that. You know, I just want to give back.
Philanthropist. You want to help people. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe one day we'll both be in that position where we can help more people. How do you stay in such great shape? And what type of food do you eat?
I exercise daily. And I eat as many water-based foods as I can eat that are nutritious with the necessary vitamins and minerals, although it's hard to get all of the vitamins and minerals that we need in our food these days. but cabbage, spinach, cauliflower, broccoli, zucchini, corn, vegetables and fruits.
Vegetables and fruits. Yeah. Okay, you eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, so you don't eat a lot of meat?
Oh, no. No, meat is difficult to digest. Meat is not going to kill you. Pork is a poison. You just need to read up on pork. Beef is a very coarse, even more difficult to digest. The bottom line, your stomach is flesh, and flesh on flesh is like your palms rubbing together, creates friction. Our stomach is not a meat grinder where it grinds it up. That's why stool comes out. All our stomach wants is juice from whatever we eat. And that's why when you eat fruit, it becomes the fiber and the texture of fruit becomes very moist and kind of like baby food. Fruit and vegetables.
Okay.
They go in, come out. Go in, come out. Meat, you got a problem. You're on the toilet. Pasta, you're on the toilet. You know what I mean? All of the carbs and the meat, these things are very difficult for our system because there's not enough water in them. Notice in vegetables itself, there's water. In all vegetables,
okay,
there's a lot of water. In all fruit, there's a lot of water. So that helps with the digestive process in and of itself alone. There's not a lot of water in meat. There's not a lot of water in potatoes, in pasta, in beans. There's not a lot of water in there. In fact, those items on the stove, if you leave them there with the pot full of water, and you come back that evening, that water has evaporated into those beans or pasta, right?
Yes.
So much so, eventually becomes rock hard in that pot, doesn't it?
Yes.
Same thing in our stomach. It takes 24 hours to digest.
I didn't think of it like that. Okay.
That's what's up. It takes 24 hours to digest a meal. And the bottom line is, meals that will digest in 24 hours is mostly fruits and vegetables, fish, but meat and pasta and beans and rice, that's not going to digest in 24 hours. Not if you consistently eat it. It takes time. You're just wearing your stomach out. Remember, the aging process, the way you look, and the life, your life itself, is directly related to our digestive tract. You wear that out, you wear out your life. That's why people look so young when they go on a fast. When you go on a fast and you're not eating, that is the actual fountain of youth. It's not eating that makes you healthy. It's not eating to get the poisons out of your system that make you more healthier, quiet as it's kept.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that with me and my listeners. I appreciate that. What was it like working with Miss Marla Gibbs in Devil's Lane? Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Marla Gibbs was an actor on 227 in the Jeffersons. Am I correct?
Yeah, that was her. Yeah, I was honored to work with her. It was beautiful. She's so sweet. She's a beautiful lady. I always had a crush on her, and even though she's aged a little bit, she still looked good, you know, and I was just glad to be able to get a hug out of her and watch her. And the other lady, Sally Richardson, who they said was in the movie Paul Newman did, or something, the big movie he did years ago called The Sting. And she's the leading lady in that. She's been won Emmys for that. Not Emmys, but Oscars or whatever, one of those awards. She played the attorney, and Marla Gibbs played the judge, and I played the courtroom bailiff. That was pretty big. That was my first lesson with another side of acting, because a courtroom bailiff don't say nothing. He stands there. Every now and then he may say something. So, you know, I was telling that to my acting coach at the time. You know, I was in the movie Marla Gibbs and Sally Green. He's like, wow, really good. That's good, Shango. That's good. I said, yeah, but I am no speaking lines. I'm just a courtroom babe. He said, Shango, acting is not just talking. Acting is reaction. When he got through with me, I understood something else about acting.
All right. Have you received any awards any nominations for anything? Because you've been, like you said, in pushing 100 videos, commercials, and films, and that's been probably since 2008 or 2009. Have you been recognized in any way, you know, for that?
No, I haven't. Not yet. That's interesting. Wow. I wouldn't even know how to act. An award? For what? For that?
Well, you've been in over 100 things. Because I can't stop counting in when I was in the 60s. Oh, that's good Lord. But, and I know everything you've been in is true. You really have been in those things. So I was just wondering if, you know, you've been recognized for that. I mean, because it's obvious you have talent, great talent.
No, I haven't been recognized for it yet. Usually when that recognition comes and looking at the life and the careers of those who have gone before me, when they get that defining project, that defining movie or that defining part on television, and then that's when, you know, you're on the morning show, you're on Jay Leno. I'll still come to Angela Butler's show, too. I want you to know. As long as
okay.
I have time,
I
have time,
that.
I'll still. I couldn't guarantee that I would have this amount of time because I know time gets more scarce the higher up you get. It's like you're breathing in the altitude. The higher up you get, the more difficult it becomes to breathe. It's the same thing. The more people around you, you're more surrounded by a whole lot more. So you're a little more suffocated by this and that and this and that and this and that. And I know that's how it was with this, and it's still like that with the project, with Ron Howard, Brian Grazer's project, the Great Escape. Your time becomes, hey, you know, really, really scarce.
Okay, we've got some callers, Mr. Shango Henry. I'm going to go to the callers and find out if they have anything they'd like to say to you and go to a couple of them. Hello,
okay.
Caller. Do you have any questions for Mr. Shango Henry? Okay, I guess you just call and listen.
No.
I'll go to a couple more. One more. Hello, caller. Do you have any questions, Mr. Shango Henry? Okay. Guess you don't. Okay. Well, I'm going. I don't have much time, so I thought. I guess you just called in to listen because. That's what the show is about. What dialects do you have, Mr. Shango Henry?
Oh, I play around with a couple.
A couple? I think it's Jamaican and some others.
A little bit, yeah. I if I was called to distinguish them, I wouldn't be able to do. But I can do, Ganja Man, I-9 Man, John Rastafari, and, some other African. And I wouldn't know if it was West Africa or East Africa. But, you know, some of my projects I've done, I did an accent. And came across pretty well. It's believable.
How many tournaments have you won in martial arts?
Oh, God. Not even, I don't forgot. Let me see. Started, quite a few. I won more than I lost, you know. Probably somewhere,
okay.
God, then.
Don't
let
feel
me
like
explain
you're
how it. Let me explain. Let me say it real quick. You got tournaments, and then you got the kickboxing. You know, I did a few tournaments. I did more kickboxing. And then my life with the community kind of took over, and I got out of it, but I would always go back because I wasn't sure, you know. But that was my love. And in fact, I had my last fight in 95. What comes to my mind is about 13 on the tournament side, and I lost. My very first fight, I lost. And my last fight, I lost. You know? So out of 11, I lost those two, and I won 9. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I lost my, my very first one and my last one. Yeah, that hurt me so bad. The first one I wasn't that hurt from because I knew I won. And I knew I won the last one. But I was more hurt because that was my comeback fight the last time. I'm going to try this one more time.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back and ask you a couple of more questions, and then we're going to wrap up the show, okay?
Okay.
All right.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turn your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
All right, listeners, this show is sponsored by Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all of your commercial financing needs, so contact them at 678-607-5092 and allow them to handle your commercial financing. Their website is http://Dobine Cowan, D-O-B-Y-N-E, Cowan, C-O-W-I-N-S, .web, WBS.com, and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Also, Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments are hiring the credit repair department, and no phone calls about this. Again, you just go to their website and fill out the form. It is http://. Dobine, D-O-B-Y-N-E, Cowan, C-O-W-I-N-S, Webs, WBS.com. And no phone calls about the credit repair job. All right, what are some of your goals, Mr. Shango Henry? And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years, that's hard to say. I would like to be wherever the Most High would have me be. The one of my goals is I would like to open up some schools, some academies type training to teach the youth. Because I noticed, like military training schools, there's some of the smartest children in the world of any culture. The children, they have military schools for the boys and the girls. And they become kind of like the leaders of that country, wherever they are, United States, Bulgaria, Italy, China, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yes, I do.
And I notice, and that's because military schools, they teach order, discipline, a certain way you do things, you know. You're very neat. You fold your clothes. Your clothes need to be pressed. Your shoes shine. I mean, they're really very, very meticulous about everything. And that kind of training spills over into your life and your being as a person, as a human being. And it develops you into government heads of countries and doctors and lawyers and officials and things like that. And then the next level down, you find a private school because they still have order. You wear either blue shorts or a white shirt, and you know, there's you don't wear anything. You don't act in any kind of way.
Yeah, military teaches. Yeah,
exactly.
Teaches discipline, and you learn
right.
How to talk to authority figures and just how to carry yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
I understand that.
Then when you get down to the regular schools, now everybody's sagging their pants down, showing their butt and underwear, hats cocked to the side, and everybody dressed any kind of way. And that's where the academic level of the students, regardless of their race, you'll find the academic the worst. And you'll find those students the worst, you know. When you get to where the schools have order and discipline with their clothing and the way they act, that's where you find academics the higher. And you also find those schools cost a lot more as well, and there's a reason for that.
I have a brother that is in martial arts, Taekwondo, so he's probably listening to this show. He's in Tallahassee right now, but I know he's probably listening to this show because he's working on like his 8th or 9th or 10th belt, something like that. So I know he's probably listening to the show because he loves martial arts too.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of a fan of yours.
Okay.
What have you learned since becoming an actor that would benefit others who are in the acting business?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What have you learned since becoming an actor that would benefit others who are in the acting business?
Oh, wow, a lot. I've learned a lot. I depend on what level you're talking about.
Well,
people starting out in acting.
Yeah, starting out. People who are starting out in the acting business, what have you learned that would help others be successful in acting?
One, since you don't have to spend a lot of money on your headshots, you don't have to worry about getting into movies to get acting reels so you can have a reel to put online, but you can find somebody with a camera and you can shoot 2 or 3 different scenes with different clothes and different situations and get it edited for a couple $100 that'll save you about 6 months, in some cases a year. My first year I did 65 student projects. That's very few people would do anything like that. So if I got 65, you know there's another 65 that I didn't get. But I was able to get a lot of experience like that, and then I was able to get material out of it to put on an acting reel so that I could show the director and the producers. Because when you say that's what you are, and they say you have a reel, and they say, okay, send it to me or mail it to me. You know, you have a hard copy, or you can put it in a link form, and they can look at it, and they can see who you are and what you do. So I would say that's one of the things that I learned. You don't really need an agent. You know, you can submit yourself. You can find somebody to help you, 2 or 3 people to help you who are driven and believe you in your career, and y'all could do that. I didn't sign nothing, anybody, anyway, but don't sign nothing with nobody. There's no need to. You're just starting, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I know I didn't have an agent when I first, I had an agent when I first started, but later on I didn't have an agent, and I was able to participate between radio, television, commercial, and modeling, about 20-some things. So I was real happy with that. But nowhere near where you are at. Do you have a fan page?
Yes, I do. It's The Real Shango Henry on Facebook. The Real Shango Henry. Because he has a couple of them.
Please.
Pardon me?
Some people think your name is spelled with an S. It's spelled with an X.
Yes, with an X. X-A-N-G-O. But you got to go to The Real, T-H-E, and then R-E-A-L, Shango Henry.
All right. Mr. Henry, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Is there anything you'd like to add to the show? Anything you'd like to say?
I hope I've said something that has been beneficial for your listeners, and continued success for you and everyone listening who has a good will of humanity. Stay focused and positive, and there's nothing that you can't achieve.
Where can you be seen at on television and film this coming up year? this coming up month and year.
Oh. Sunday on TNT, The Great Escape. Ron
okay.
Howard, executive direct and produce, with Brian Grazer and the writers from The Amazing Race. If you have a direct TV, it may come on at 7. Depending on where you are, you got to check your guide and find out what time it comes on. But it's on Sunday, The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. Okay, and who are you playing on there?
I'm what you call a guard slash hunter.
Okay. All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you, sir. And I look forward to having you back one day.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, we've had with us Mr. Shango Henry. Shango Henry. He's been our guest tonight for almost 45 minutes, and I hope I didn't keep him too long, but you said you can find him on Sunday nights on The Great Escape, so check your local listings and tune in to him, show him some love and support. All right, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to having you back tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, and have a good night, everyone. Enjoy your weekend and your Saturday night. Be safe.